Verses 1 through 7 gives you the qualifications of elders, presbytery, bishops, pastors. I'm not one of those. One day I aspire to be one day. But till then, I'm a minister, a preacher, an evangelist, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can understand, you know, people are hearing what they're hearing in the religious world. But when you come back to the word of God, you come back to the truth of the gospel. That's why I don't get all bent out of shape when people call me pastor, but I just want to take them to the scriptures. You know, the Bible calls me an evangelist. The Bible calls me a preacher. The Bible calls me a member, a brother. Now, we have three elders, three pastors, three bishops, three presbyters here. Brother Rick, Brother Dennis, and Brother Don. Three elders, three pastors, three bishops, three presbyters. And God has blessed us at this local level, this local congregation in that particular area. I'm not one. So I just want to make that point there, because since the Lord's church is growing here, we want to be able to teach those points. Those are very minor points, but they're major points at the same time. They're minor because, number one, I'm not going to get bent out of shape, and we shouldn't get too bent out of shape over it, but they're major because we want to be precise when it comes to the word of God. Amen. We always want to be precise. So it's all about a matter of teaching. But then you have your elders, you have your minister, but you have your deacons. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. As Paul is talking to the church at Philippi, notice who he addressed alongside with the saints. The bishops and deacons. Do you see that in your Bible? It's there. Now, I want us to take that in consideration. How does this help me in my own personal life? It helps me very greatly, because what it does is it causes me to look at God's word in a very precise manner. If you ever want to overcome doubt, look at God's word precisely. Look at God's word distinctively. Check out every single word that is in there. I've made more mistakes, even lately, in my study of God's word, because I was negligent and not looking at every single word. Friends, every word is vitally important. Since the Holy Spirit, I didn't say if the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, put it in the word, I need to have enough respect for God and enough understanding and patience and meditation in the word to go to the word and look at every single word so I can understand what God says. Every word means something. Case in point. If you've been married any amount of time, especially ye husbands, you like that King James talk, ye husbands, you better listen to every word your wife is saying, because one word can throw off everything. I know that's bad English, but that's good understanding. Right? Man, like, but I thought you told me to get this and this. If you would listen to me, that's what she would say, right? Same thing when it comes to the word of God. When we're reading, let's not skip words. Let's not insert words. Let's not take out words. Let's read what God's word has said. And I guarantee you it will eliminate all doubt. And I guarantee you we will conclude what thus saith the Lord. But then we have members. So you have elders, you have deacons, you have ministers, but you have members. But let me back up real quick. In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, for time's sake, don't have time to look at verse 11 and 12, but write that in your notes. But friends, when you consider teachers in there, if you are a teacher in the Lord's church, you're just as important as the minister, just as important as the deacons, just as important as the shepherds. You're just playing a different role in the supply or the education or the nurturing up of the body of Christ. All of us are important. All of us are doing our part. It's just like the family, the husband, the wife, the children. All of us are important in the family. Yet we got different roles. You got to have someone who's leading the way. You got to have those who are following. The same thing in the local body of Christ. So we see the organization in the church. And so when you get to the members, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse number 24. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 24, you'll find these words that are very powerful and worthy of our consideration. Never think I'm just a member of the Lord's church here at 9th and Main. I'm really not significant. Yes, you are. You're very significant. If you are visiting with us and maybe one day want to be a member here at the 9th and Main Church of Christ, you are very significant. We just need to get you involved. We need to make sure that you have obeyed the gospel, that you have given allegiance to Jesus Christ, and we want to put you to work because we want you to, Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we want. That's what God wants. There should never be anyone who is sitting on the sidelines spectating, clapping. No, if anything, we're all involved and we're all getting our hands dirty in the very work of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 24. Really, Tom say, look at verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members individually. Now, you go back and you read from verses 12 through verse number 26, and you'll see why he said those things. Every single part, Brother Pope Joy, is important. The other day, matter of fact, it was last night. It's a great example right here. But that was a few months back. I was walking down some steps, and I hit my elbow on a banister. And I figured, well, it'll go away after, you know, a couple of days. Never went away. It still tingles to this day. Every time, I'm not trying to be graphic, but I put on some deodorant, it tingles and it hurts right here in my elbow. Maybe I'm trying to get some free medical clinic help right here, but I don't know. But anyway, here's my point. I looked it up, and there's actually a nerve there apparently I must have damaged. That's interesting. That nerve is important. It's causing me a little pain every now and then. Friends, the kingdom of God, every subject in the kingdom is important. Hoseas is important. Nathan is important. Even though they may not be members, they come with their parents who are members. They are important. So we need to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Every member is important. Why? Doesn't matter how young, how old you may be, you are important to the body of Christ. You are making up the kingdom of God. You are part of the one true church if you've been baptized into Christ. Therefore, you are important. Friends, we're all important. There's no one that's not important in the body of Christ. So when one part hurts, all of us hurts. When one is rejoicing, all is rejoicing. Oh, this kingdom is a beautiful kingdom. It's a beautiful kingdom. Number three, it is universal. It doesn't matter where you go. You can find the Church of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, according to Colossians 1, verse 23 and 24, went to the whole known world. Remember a few years ago, went to South America and the Church of Christ was alive and well and thriving there. People were walking miles to come hear the gospel. Y'all hear that? Walking. They were walking. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go. Everybody was to go where the apostles were. And so here we see that the command was to the apostles. But hold on. Shouldn't we follow that example too? That wherever we go, we take the gospel with us. Mark chapter 10. We take it with us. We take that good news. We take the story of Jesus Christ. We take love, peace, joy, righteousness. Wherever we go, we take it with us. That's why when you go on vacation, you ought to find a faithful congregation of the Lord's people and go to worship. Never go on vacation from God. God doesn't go on vacation from us. That's a good point. So before you go out on vacation, locate the local congregation that's faithfully doing the will of God. Why? Because when we consider the scope of the gospel and the scope of the Lord's church, it transcends race, transcends color, transcends language, and we take the gospel to every single language that we can, that we have learned, Mark 16, 15 and 16, and as we take it out, the church becomes universal. It's already universal. There is a church, wherever you may go on the face of the earth, that's doing God's will. Hopefully, we'll recognize that. We'll always do our part. Next, Number four, it's worship. The kingdom of God has worship. We talked about this before. It's in spirit and in truth. And friends, let us always keep in mind, friends, we commune with the Lord today, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. It's the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7. We are remembering the Lord's death till he comes back. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. Let us never take that for granted. Let us always remember what our Lord did for us. Let us take our minds back to the cross. Let us examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Let us do that. That's kingdom work. That's kingdom responsibility. That's a kingdom privilege that we're able to look at our own personal lives every single Lord's day. Now, I want us to think about this. Isn't it beautiful that in God's wisdom that he gives us an opportunity to look within our hearts during this time? So when we stand before him, we're already judged. We've already done the work ourselves. We stand before him blameless in the blood of Christ. That's powerful, friends. And if there's ever something that could be off in my life, I ought to be able to hear it from the word of God when it's preached or taught. I ought to be able to recognize it if I'm honest when I'm taking the Lord's Supper. I ought to be able to judge my own motives when I'm giving on the first day of the week. How about when I'm singing? If you notice, we don't have instruments. It's not because we can't afford it. It's because they're not authorized. In Acts chapter 2, 21 through 29, Peter brings up David and said he is dead. His grave is with us even to this day. He talks about Jesus, how he was raised to sit on his throne. Nowhere you'll find in the New Testament where instruments of music are being used in worship to God. You can go to the Old Testament. That Old Testament was nailed to the cross. David was king. David was the one that brought those things in. They were not sanctioned by God. They were commanded by David. 2 Chronicles 29. We keep those things in mind. And this is why we take our song book and we use our song book, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, by expediency. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, rather. By expediency, because we all want to be on the same page as we're singing these songs unto our great God. It was a great song we sung right before I got up. You know what singing does? It engages the heart. Oh, our King, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his kingdom, which we are, who are subjects, we want to be in tune with God. So this is why we sing. Number one, because God commanded it. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, Colossians 3, 16. 1 Corinthians 14, 15, Hebrews 2, verse 14. But I want us to keep in mind, friends, that we're singing because we love God. Have you ever had a song in your heart that you just couldn't get out? Hopefully it's a hymnal. Just as I am. There is a great God. The Lamb beyond the blue. Friends, in the kingdom of God, it's not just us coming together so we can just come together, but we're coming together that we may bolster, that we may lift up, that we may encourage the inner man and be that strong man or woman of God that God desires for us to be as we grow in grace. So we hear the teaching of the word, the preaching of the gospel. And this is why whoever is mounting the pulpit or teaching the Bible class, that he makes sure that he is teaching what thus saith the Lord, that he is not veering away from the truth, that he is speaking nothing but sound doctrine, Titus 2 and verse number 1. Why? Because souls are hanging in the balance. People are waiting to make a decision. People want to go to heaven. And friends, the preacher, the teacher ought to make sure that they give them the admonition to do so. It's my job. Lastly, it's unity. Talk about this government, this organization, this universality, it's worship, but it's It's unity. It's undenominational. These words may not be words that people like to hear, but it's still true. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There the Bible clearly teaches some things about oneness. It's good to hear those babies. I know it's a little struggle there sometimes, but it's good to hear them. Y'all keep them coming. Keep training them. Keep training them. Keep training them. Stay with your babies. Keep teaching them, because I guarantee you, one day they're going to get on their own, and one day they're going to start thinking for themselves, 11, 12, 13 years old, and you're going to wish you had them here. You keep them coming. I know it's a struggle, but you keep them coming. Y'all doing a good job with them babies. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see something that's very powerful concerning the seven ones. Let's start at verse number 1. And we'll read on down to verse number 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. Notice the attitude, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another, notice, in love. Make every effort, your version may say endeavor. Endeavor, or endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Lord's church, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his dear son, the church of Christ must do all that it can to maintain. Notice, it didn't say make the unity. It said keep the unity, which means that it's already there. Jesus in John 17 prayed that the church would be one, that the people of God may be one. How? Verse 21, through their word. That's how God keeps us one, through the word. That's why we got to stay with the word. Your unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Here it is. There's one body, Colossians 1:18, body is the church. Meaning there's one church. And one Spirit, meaning one revelator, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9-16. Just as you were called in one hope, one expectation, heaven, our bodies being changed, receiving that new body, 1 John 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. One Lord, meaning one ruler. Acts 2 and verse number 36. God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. One faith, meaning one system of belief. Not different systems, but one system. One baptism. One immersion. When you go down in the water, grave of baptism, you come in contact with the blood of Christ. God washes away all of your sins. He adds you to the Lord's church. You become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You have something to look forward to if you stay faithful even to the point of death. All because of the kingdom of God. All because of the kingdom of God. One God, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Why do we say these things? Because the kingdom of God is so powerful. Y'all put your seatbelts on. It's about to get good right here. If the kingdom of God, us, those of us who are members and striving to do what is right, we are the ones that take on the very name of Christ. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 and 24. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 and 24, about to give you a nugget of truth that's powerful. I'm going to end with this. Because this kingdom is going to be that church that's going to not have spot or blemish, Ephesians chapter 5. It's going to be a kingdom that the Bible here says, Paul by inspiration, in verse number 24 and 25, notice what your Bible says. Then comes the end, when he, talking about Christ, delivers the kingdom to God. What's the kingdom? Matthew 16, 18, 19. It's the church. It's the church of the firstborn. It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of his dear son. To God the Father. Notice who Jesus is going to be given the kingdom 2. He's going to be given the kingdom to God the Father when he, who is he? Jesus, puts an end to all rule and authority. Hold on. God gave Jesus all rule and authority in Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, Daniel chapter 7, verse 12 through 14, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. God gave him all of that authority. In essence, God gave Jesus the kingdom. So Jesus is going to give that kingdom back. Verse 25, for he must reign. He must rule. Jesus is ruling right now. Notice the time word, till. Put in your notes, Matthew 10, verse number 11, Daniel 5, verse number 21, for that time word, till. That time word always means that something's going to happen until this point, and then after this point, something's going to change. Notice, he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy he will destroy is death. But why is this important? Why would Jesus give the kingdom back to the Father? Because one day in eternity, Jesus asked for the kingdom. Psalm 2. Turn your Bibles there. Psalm 2. Notice what your Bible says. It's interesting, friends. Go home and meditate on this point. Why do the heathen rage, verse 1? And the people plot a vain thing, and the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against this Christ anointed, saying, verse 3, let us break their bonds in pieces, cast their cords from us. They want to separate themselves from righteousness, from God, from Christ. This is looking into the future. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Here it is. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Here God is going to be exalting Jesus Christ. Verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. You go to Acts chapter 13 and he's talking about his resurrection. He's talking about raising Jesus from the dead. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, notice verse number 8, he asked for something. Ask of me and I will give you. Give you what, Jesus? The nations for your inheritance. And the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. God gave him authority over Gentiles and Jews who was going to be in his kingdom. And notice verse number 12. Kiss the Son. What does that mean? What does this have to do with the kingdom? You know who we pledge allegiance to today? The Son. You know every knee is going to bow to who? The Son. You know who's going to judge all men? The Son. You know who we need to be paying respect to today? The Son. You know what's going to happen when people don't respect the Son? They're going to be lost. You know who those who respect the Son, what's going to happen? They're going to be saved. Are you kissing the Son today? Are you bowing down to him? For he has the authority. He has the power. He has the rule. And friends, what a great God we serve. That we can go to the Word of God and know that I serve a Lord, a Master, a Christ that will always take care of my soul. Question, do you want to be delivered up in this great kingdom, this kingdom of God? I hope and pray that you do. And I hope and pray that if you're a member of the Lord's church, that you continue to kiss the Son. You continue to bow down to him. And you don't allow any outside source, any outside teaching, any person to keep you away from the Son. Oh, friends, this last Monday people were running to go see the eclipse. There's nothing that's going to block our Son. Let no one block your Son. No, let no one block the Son that's in your life. Let nothing eclipse your life. Sin can eclipse you from the sun, can keep you from seeing Jesus for who he really is. But we see Jesus. Who do you see? If you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want you to be. Next month of September, we're going to be starting a series on the family. Y'all come back, invite your friends. We're going to be talking about how the family ought to be. We all need encouragement in those areas. We all need teaching in those areas. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be thinking about that. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will add you to the kingdom. God will add you to the church. You live faithful even to the point of death, and he'll give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. But if maybe a child of God and, well, you need special prayer, let us do that for you as we stand and as we sing to save this invitation.